Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, how many of you can say that putting God first in your life changed everything in your life? How many of you, your marriage got better? Okay? How many of you, what about the rest of you? I'm like, no, I got worse, Pastor. Okay. How many of you, your marriage got better when you put God first in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of your parenting got better? Okay. How many of you, you became a better friend to people around you, a better worker, a better coworker, a better boss, a better employee? Every area of your life that you put God first in, things get better, because when you put Him first or on the throne, He takes rulership of that area of your life. How many of you remember when you gave Him rulership over your tongue? Okay, a lot of things changed, didn't they? How many of you remember when you gave Him rulership over what you drank? Well, let me try that one more time. How many of you discovered that crawfish could go down with water and not just beer? I mean, there are some Cajuns that think if you don't drink alcohol and you drink crawfish, they grow inside of you and start reproducing with other traps. But that's true. But let me ask you a question. How many of you know people that just like have everything? Like, I mean, and I don't mean that they're the richest people in the world or they look like a cross between Chris Reese, Dr. Scott Adams, and myself with $1 million in the bank. I mean, how many of you know people that, I mean, they have so much, and when you think about giving them a gift, you think like, okay, like what could I give them that they don't already have? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Let me give you a better question. What can your children give you? Okay, not headaches. What can your children give you? I remember I was talking to Joseph one day. They lived with us twice. They sold two houses and then lived with us. Well, first, when they moved back from California, they lived with us for a while, saved up their money, got into a house, and then sold that house, and then lived with us for another year. I'm seeing a pattern. Saved up their money and bought another house. And one day, he and I are just sitting in the living room of our house, and I said, well, Joseph, I mean, I know you got plans and, you know, you've lived here a couple of times and saved up your money. I mean, son, let me ask you something. What are you looking at in the future? Like, do you want to build? Like, I mean, what are you thinking about? And he sat there in my living room and he goes, I'm sitting in my future. I said, where am I going to live? He goes, we'll push you around in a wheelchair. You know, Daddy, what can your children give you that you actually need? They can give you love and obedience. You know why you and me get socks and drawers every year? They can give us love and obedience. Actually, when they give us love and obedience, what they're doing is, even when they buy us something for Christmas or for a birthday or an anniversary, it's simply a token of their honor for us. So I got a better question for you. What can we give God? Is there anything that God needs from us? Is heaven broke? No, we're going to walk on streets of gold. So. God made all that there is. He made everything that you see. He made the sky. I mean, like, I know people that, like, went to Arkansas to watch the eclipse. I didn't want to let them know. You could see that online. I mean, you know, they're like people with cameras that you could just, like, watch it. You don't have to actually go there. But He gave you the sun. He gave you the stars. He gave you the beautiful white sandy beaches of Destin and the brown dirty beaches of Holly Beach. He gave us the swamp. He gave us the mountains with snow on them. He gave us beautiful women. Give him praise. He gave us ugly men. And even when they look good, they smell bad. So he gave us Cajun food. He gave us Tony's. Slap somebody else's mama. He gave us Tabasco. He gave us Mexican food. Let's worship Jesus. He gave us all of these things freely to enjoy. So I got a question for you. What can we give God? The same thing that our children alone can give us, even though we don't need anything. It's love and obedience. It's love and obedience. How many of you, it's your joy when your children show love and obedience to you? Raise your hand. How many of you, it's your grief when they don't listen? How many of you watch your adult children make stupid purchases, and if they would have asked you, you could have saved them time, money, and a headache? Of course. It's love and obedience, and if you put love and obedience together, that comes out as one word. That word is called honor. It's honor. Say that with me, honor. Let me show you how the Bible illustrates this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong. Not because you belong to them. He says, do it because you belong to me. Do it because you belong to me. For this is the right thing to do. Then he says this, what? Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will live a long life on the earth. A long life on the earth. Paul is telling us that love and obedience lead us to an outward response that we call honor. We don't honor our parents because they need it. We honor him because we need it, and it keeps us in the right spiritual and emotional condition and position. How does this relate to our resources? Listen to the wisest and wealthiest man that ever lived. His name was Solomon. And in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, here's what he says. Read it with me. Honor the with your and with the first fruits of all of your crops or your income. Then something will happen. Your barns will abundantly filled and your vats will. Come on, that's the Cajun verse right there. Overflow with new wine, not daiquiris. Not margaritas, new wine. In this passage, Solomon tells us not only what to honor, but also when to honor. Who do we honor? What do we honor him with? When do we honor him, and what becomes the result? First, we honor God with our income, How do we honor God with money? The first thing we do is we honor him as the owner of it all. How many of you know who gave it to you? Who owns it all? God. God. God owns it all. He owns us. He owns everything that is in the world, and God owns it all. And what he's doing is, I am honoring him by honoring the fact that I'm just a manager or a steward. So what I'm actually saying is, I'm answering this question, whose money is it? Who gave it to me to manage? God. And that's a question that we always have to continue to honor. Here's the second thing. We honor God by when we give to him. He says, honor God with the first fruits. He's not talking about percentage. He's talking about priority. Now, I asked you this last week, and y'all were not honest. So I'm going to see. I'm going to give you a chance after the women's meeting to tell the truth. Okay? How many of you have more than one child? Okay? How many of you have a favorite? Don't raise your hand. Okay, can I share something with you? They know. You know how they know? Because when you get something, guess who gets it first? They do. Your favorite does. How many of you got favorite friends? Okay, a lot of lonely people here. Glad you're church. Like if you and if you're not doing anything, if you're a couple, if you and your wife aren't doing anything, if you're single, you're not doing anything, who is the first person you call and go, I'm gonna call them to see what they're doing tonight? We all have people like that, don't we? And then we have other people to go, hey, let's get together sometime. And you go, oh yeah, I'll put you down, way down. Like if everybody I know dies and nobody's left, I'll call you. Come on, don't lie, you say that all the time. Be encouraged, so do I. I'll put you down, like down the list. Whoever we honor, we put first. Why does God want us to honor him with money? Why? Malachi 3:10 gives us some insight, and then Jesus completes it. And the prophet Malachi says, bring all the tithes, which is what? Into the, so there will be food in my house, and test me in this now, says the Lord. And if you do this, if you pass this test, this is what I will do. I will open up for you the windows of and pour out so great a blessing on you until there's no room, what? To receive it. To receive. Do you know 10 is the number of testing? How many commandments are there? How many plagues came into Egypt until finally Pharaoh released the people? 10. 10 is the number of testing. Why does God test us with money? Who made our heart? God did. I want to ask you another question. Is there any new temptation since the Garden of Eden? Men have been listening to unclothed women for years and doing things they shouldn't do. Lust is not new. Is pride new? Do you know that the first temptation in the garden was out of lack? God is keeping something good from you that you got to go and get yourself. I want you to think about that. It was from lack. But who made our hearts? Okay, this isn't a trick question. Who made our hearts? So who knows what our heart will be drawn to? He knew your heart would be drawn to beautiful women if you're a man. If you're not drawn to beautiful women, we'll pray for you. That's another issue for another time. He knew if you were a woman, you would be drawn to strong, handsome, tall, dark, to Cajun men. He knew that when he made you. And because he made your heart, he knows what your heart is drawn to. So listen to what Jesus says as he talks about this to a group of people. He says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Don't keep hoarding for yourself what? Earthly treasures that can be stolen by or the stock market. Material wealth eventually rust and I talked to a guy this week. His wife said, he called her and said, do you know how much money I lost in the stock market this week? Do you know how much money I lost in the stock market this week? Things on earth lose their value. Instead, here's God's answer, stockpile in heaven, what? Treasures for yourself that cannot be or never or lose their. And here's the why behind the what. He made our heart. For where your heart will always, what? What you honor as your treasure. The eye of the Spirit will allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate the darkness in its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter? How can you worship two gods at the same time. You will either have a hate for the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and then he brings it all to a logical conclusion. Read it with me. You cannot worship the while enslaved by the god of the, some translations say Mammon. You know who Mammon was? Mammon was a golden god that people would go and sacrifice to make them rich. If you wanted to get rich, you went and you sacrificed to this god. It was an Old Testament lottery. If I sacrifice to this, it will make me wealthy. It will make me wealthy. Do you know this is the only time in the whole Bible God tells us to test him? Why? Because money is a test for us. It's a test. Can I prove it to you? Look right here. I want everybody to look at me right now. Okay? We are the most blessed nation in the history of mankind. Is that true? Yes or no? Who blessed us? Is America blessing God? Has it forgotten the God that blessed them? And we've now put our trust in government. We put our trust in armies. We put our trust in all that they give. And the God that blessed the pilgrims when they landed on the shores and just wanted religious freedom and cried out that God would prosper them and bless them, just like you cried out to God when you met him, that he would change your life, that he would fill you, that you would put him first in every area. Now that God can't be mentioned in the schools. That God can't be mentioned in colleges. That God can't be mentioned in our city halls. The God who gave us everything. Because God knows the propensity of each of our hearts is to be drawn to what he's given us instead of the one who gave it to us. Let me stop a moment. How many of you are parents of children that are beyond teenage years, teenage and beyond? Raise your hand. Do you hate it when they only call you when they want something? Do you hate it when they only call you when they need something? But what you want is love. But what they want is stuff. Look at me. Now you know how God feels. And because he knew the propensity of our heart, the way that he keeps our heart in check, the way that he makes sure that he is the God of the throne of our heart and not mammon, is by us saying, you go first. God, you get the first 10%. Because I'm going to share something with you that's powerful and it's true. Whoever your security is in becomes your identity. Whoever your security is in, that becomes your identity. Matthew 13, 22 says this. I want you to read with me. The deceitfulness of what? Choke and suffocate what? Well, what is deceitful? What does that mean, deceitful? About 20 years ago, back when we didn't have cell phones, how many of you don't have a landline in your house? Raise your hand. Okay. This is back when they had landlines and not cell phones. And I was awakened in the middle of the night, you know, and then it was loud, like the old alarm clock. Ring, ring, ring. So I stumbled, with six children in the house, I stumbled to pick up the phone. I went, hello? You're still half asleep. This man goes, is this Jacob Aranza? I said, yes, I am calling. Your credit card has been stolen. I said, really? Yes, give me all of his numbers right now. And I can stop it. And I'm in the middle of giving him my numbers. Okay, don't act like you're all cool now because it's on the internet and you could see it all. I was asleep and there wasn't even an internet that Al Gore had invented. So I said, hugged it. And then I went, hold it. Why would you be calling me and asking me for my numbers if somebody already stole my numbers? You have my number. You're a liar. Hung up the phone and went back to sleep. Do you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to deceive me. He was promising me something that he was never going to deliver to me. Do you know what the deceitfulness of riches are? They promise you something they never deliver to you. Hey, there's two types of people that struggle with money. You know who it is? People that never have enough, and people that have so much, it's never enough to make them secure. My spiritual mentor, Leonard Ravenhill, used to say, money is a great servant, but a terrible master. For some of you, that your security is in it. You watch the stock market every day. Your heart rate goes up and down compared to the stock. How's the stock market? How's it going, man? Man, it's bad. Man, it's bad. What's going on, man? Look, there's a guy in Dusaw in a travel trailer that's got more peace than you do. Because the deceitfulness of riches is you think they will give you security, but instead it sows insecurity. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you got to be honest. How many of you know people that have quite a bit of money? Raise your hand. How many know people that got a lot of money and very little character? Raise your hand. How many of you know that if those people didn't have money, they wouldn't have many friends? Raise your hand. Do you know what they believed? They bought into a lie that that would make them something. It would make them something. You know why I'm qualified to speak about money? Because I was raised dirt poor. Even after I grew up, I got married, I was hoarding stuff. Like when people would finally start flying me in to speak, whenever I got on a plane and they were giving away free cookies, back then they gave away free stuff. I'd get the cookies, I'd get the peanuts, I'd get crack, anything they had, and I'd bring them home and I would store them all in my closet. And I did that for years. Every hotel, I took every shampoo, every bar of soap. I did. And Michelle would go, why are you doing this? I go, they're giving away free stuff. There was a voice always telling me, it's not enough. Whatever you have, it's not enough. Because as long as you trust in something else besides the author of this book, no matter what you have, it will never be enough. He alone is your identity and security. He alone. Look at me. He alone. It's deceitful. It promises what it cannot deliver to you. Church is your pastor. You know what I want for you? I want you to look right here. Our church is doing great. Financially, you are so incredibly generous. That's why we can do things like we did with women and young people and all the different things. Childcare, addiction, aftercare, flood. You're amazingly generous. We're good. But if God's not first in your money, you're not good. You're not good. And every 2 years, Michelle would go into those drawers. And Tyler, she'd dump it all in the trash can. And then I'd start a pile all over again. And 2 years later, she'd come in and she'd dump it all in the trash can. Like, I couldn't understand that. Because she grew up in a family of abundance and I grew up in a family of poverty. Look at me. Being generous has nothing to do with how much you make, but everything to do with who's on the throne of your heart. When I honor God with my resources, it says, God, you own it all. I'm just a steward. But you own me. You own me. It all goes back. So what can I give God? Love and obedience and honor. And honor. I wish there were people here that trusted me enough to like believe what I'm saying and like would just run up and say, Pastor, we believe what you're saying is so. We'll give you $100 if people would just give me. Man, the young people of this church are rich. Do you know why they gave me this $100? Anybody know? Because before service, I gave it to them. You know whose it was all along? Mine. I have no trouble putting God first if I know that it's His. None. But if I think it's mine, I love to tell you stories, and I could tell you them all day, and I hate to tell you the names because you look at the names and you go, well, yeah. I remember when Don Mendoza had 20 rental cars and was living in a trailer with a hole this big in it in a little drug run alley right behind his place. I remember when he got shot. Guy came into the dealership, said, I'm looking for Don Mendoza. He was jealous of Danielle, shot him 5 times in the back, almost killed him. I remember going into the hospital with Danielle. They weren't married yet, and his parents were kind of very protective over what was there, and the only person they were afraid of was me. And so she'd call me and go, Pastor, can we go to the hospital? So I'd go. And I can remember this conversation like it was yesterday. Danielle, are you tithing? I said, I'm tithing off of the first of everything that we make. That's the first thing that I do. That was 24 years ago. Now 17 dealerships. Was the car dealer of the year. Over 100 people that have come out of addiction find their first job there. He's helped literally build the kingdom of God in ways that are immeasurable and that he would never say, and I wouldn't say, because he's done it as unto the Lord. And I could tell you story after story after story like that. Because if you put God first, He always puts you first, because every area of your life where you put Him first, it gets better. Every area. Now, look at me. None of that replaces you putting Jesus first in your life. None of it replaces you putting Jesus first in your life. Jesus wants your heart. And if He gets your heart, He gets everything. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Because He knows either mammon is going to sit on the throne or He's going to sit on the throne. And it's been that way since the Garden of Eden. So I want you to bow with me right now. And today I want to speak to the most important question of your life first. If you're here today and you go, Pastor, I do want transformation in my life. I want to know God. I love Him. I want Him to be first in my life. I've never done that. I've never put Him first. How does that happen? Well, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born again, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what that means? Every person born since Adam and Eve has been born spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. I was born spiritually dead. Mother Teresa was born spiritually dead. Billy Graham was born spiritually dead, and so were you and I. And my relationship begins with Jesus the moment I ask Him to come in my life and to resurrect me and take me from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. When Easter happens in me, a resurrection of knowing God. So now with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I've never prayed to be born again. It only happens once, just like the day you were born. How can you do that? A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ became your sin bearer. He died for your sin so we wouldn't have to die with our sin. and say, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, as you ask Him to come and resurrect you, to love Him and to know Him, to be free from your past, and to embrace all He has for you in His life in the future. So if you're here today and you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but you've never prayed to be born again, I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right at your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you right at your seat, right where you are. And today, you're going to be spiritually resurrected into a relationship with Jesus. One, God brought you here. Yeah, I know somebody invited you. It was God. It was God using them. Two, He's been waiting a long time. He's chosen you and He's spoken to you many, many, many times. And now's the time to surrender, to stop, to give up, to say, I'm taking everything off the throne, to put you back on His rightful place in my heart. And if that's you today and you want to be born again, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand. Three, if that's you, raise your hand high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You can put your hands down. Last 10 seconds, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand with these 21, but I should have. I know this is what I need. I know God is talking to me. I don't know why I've been waiting. Raise it and wave it at me right now if you haven't raised your hand. Yes. 22, 23. Yes. 24. All right. Now, church, let's pray out loud with all of those that raise their hand to be born again. We're going to join you in this prayer for you to be born again. Now, before I pray that prayer, I want to ask something else. How many of you here and just say, Pastor, I believe that God has spoken through you to me about honoring God with my money, about putting Him first, like I have in other areas of my life that have changed. I know God's spoken to me today. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm just going to pray for you. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Lord, many hands went up, but Father, I know that You're speaking. You're speaking. You're speaking. We never know what's on the other side of our obedience, but we know love and obedience is always what You require and the only thing You require. Now, church, let's pray with all those that raise their hand to be born again. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, You took my guilt, my sin, and my shame, and You died for it. I believe You faced hell for me, so I would not have to go. And You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with Your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from sin to be born again. Today, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm born again in Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, church, can we celebrate those who just made that decision?